بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد الحمد لله my dear respected brothers and elders محترم بأيو دوست بزرگو we started this chapter باب الرجاء the chapter of hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah ta'ala پر امید باندنا that at the end of the day as much of a sinner as I may be As many mistakes as I may make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still, like Allah ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي غَلَبَتْ غَضَبِي That my mercy always overcomes my anger. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger, because Allah ta'ala becomes very angry when certain things take place. For example, people who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who attribute children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تكاد السماوات يتفطرن منه وتنشق الأرض وتخر الجبال هدا عند عول الرحمن ولدا. Allah Ta'ala says, I become so angry when people attribute children to me. تكاد السماوات يتفطرن. It's very close for the earth, for the heavens to totally burst. وتنشق الأرض, for the earth to totally burst open. وتخر الجبال هدا, and for the mountains to totally fall down and collapse out of the anger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala does not display that anger. Because this dunya, Allah Ta'ala has created it and it has a time limit. So therefore Allah Ta'ala's anger is there. And certain actions make Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala very angry. But as soon as a servant turns to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, as soon as a servant lifts his hand up in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, cries in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, automatically Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's rahmah overcomes. Everything is forgiven. Everything is forgotten. أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ Someone who does tawbah from a sin, it's as if they have no sin. Slate is wiped clean. Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wants us to recognize Him. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wants to give us Jannah. I was yesterday in the Blackburn Bukhari Jalsa, Khatmul Bukhari. And mashallah, great scholar, Murna Sulaiman, okay? Murna Sulaiman Choksi, Hafizahullah. Murna Sulaiman Choksi, the Ustad Azul Murna. So a great scholar from South Africa, Murna Sulaiman Choksi, so he was mentioning, La ilaha illallah, just going to mention a point he was mentioning. Slip my mind now. Subhanallah. Point has slipped my mind. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. We're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. How Allah ta'ala's mercy always overcomes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. So, in this bab, Bab al-Raja, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is bringing those ahadith in which this raja, this hope, he's trying to establish that the servant always has to be hopeful in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Regardless of what kind of past we have had, because the reality is every single servant is sinful. And when a servant looks at their kamal and when a servant looks at their qualities and thinks that they are something, they are very, very far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more a servant looks at themselves thinking that, you know what, I have nothing, I am very low, I am very inferior, if it was not for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I wouldn't be able to take a single step forward, I wouldn't be able to take a single breath, I wouldn't be able to do a single amal. One subhanallah, one astaghfirullah, one la ilaha illallah. All of this that Allah Ta'ala is giving me the ability to do is through Allah's mercy. So I am a totally in debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's through Allah Ta'ala's rahmah that I can do any good action. There is no kamal in me. There's no perfection in me. So last week we stopped at this hadith. Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's hadith. So we'll continue inshaAllah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wa'an Jabirin radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala ja'a a'rabiyun ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqala ya Rasulallah mal mujibatan faqala man mata la yushriku billahi shay'an dakhala al-jannah wa man mata yushriku bihi shay'an dakhala al-nar rawahu Muslim. Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ishaad firmate hain ke ek a'rabi ایک دیہاتی آیا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پاس اور آ کے پوچھا یا رسول اللہ مل موجبتان دو واجب چیزیں کیا ہیں واجب چیزیں مطلب یہ ہونے والا ہی ہے تو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جواب دیا کہ من مات لا یشرک باللہ شیئا دخل الجنہ کہ جس شخص کا موت آ جائے اس حالت میں کہ وہ اللہ تعالیٰ کے ساتھ کسی کو شریک نہیں ٹھہراتا, دخل الجنہ, مطلب اللہ تعالیٰ کے ساتھ شرک نہیں کرتا, دخل الجنہ, وہ جنت میں داخل ہو جائے گا. مطلب یہ ایک واجب چیز ہے, گارنٹیڈ چیز ہے. اور جو شخص مر جائے, اس کا موت آ جائے اور اس حال میں وہ مرے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ کے ساتھ کسی چیز کو شریک ٹھہراتا تھا, تو دخل النار, تو وہ جہنت میں جہنم میں جائے گا. So this hadith, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, he mentions that a Bedouin person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked, O Messenger of Allah, what are the two mujibatan, the two guaranteed things that will definitely happen? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, whoever passes away without associating any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, associating anything as a partner of Allah, دخل الجنة, he will enter Jannah. And whoever dies associating any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will definitely enter Jahannam. And these are two guaranteed things. From this hadith and from the ahadith that we covered previously, it seems that as long as a person has iman, they will enter Jannah. Of course, the ulama mention that maybe that person will have to enter Jahannam first because of certain sins they committed. If they had not sought repentance and tawbah from those sins, maybe they will have to go to Jahannam for a certain period of time. But this is all maybe, because there are so many ahadith, maybe in the sense that it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can say this person is definitely going to Jahannam. Nobody can say that. As long as somebody dies upon Iman and Islam, nobody can say he's definitely going to Jahannam. Because Allah Ta'ala's rahmah works in such a way that Allah Ta'ala looks at one deed, and Allah Ta'ala loves that deed so much that that servant does, that Allah Ta'ala forgives many other sins. Allah's forgiven, Allah Ta'ala just wants to forgive and forgive and forgive. You know, last week we covered this hadith, that whoever passes away without associating any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, testifying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's servant and messenger, Isa alayhi salam is Allah's servant and messenger, and Jannah and Jahannam are true, then Allah ta'ala, أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ. Allah will enter him into Jannah with whatever amal he brings. Any amal he brings, Allah will enter him into Jannah with that. So many ahadith, inshallah, will come, more will come here. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعاذ رديفه على الرحل قال يا معاذ قال لبيك يا رسول الله وسعديك قال يا معاذ قال لبيك يا رسول الله وسعديك قال يا معاذ قال لبيك يا رسول الله وسعديك ثلاثا قال ما من عبد يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صدقا من قلبه إلا حرمه الله على النار قال يا رسول الله أفلا أخبر بها الناس فيستبشروا قال إذن يتكلوا فأخبر بها معاذ عند موته تأثما متفق عليه وقوله تأثما أي خوفا من الإثم في كتم هذا العلم. سيدنا أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه روايت فرماتے ہیں کہ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سيدنا معاذ بن جبل کے ساتھ سوار تھے کسی جانور پر, اور رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نے سوال کیا, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نے کہا يا معاذ, پکارا سیدنا معاذ بن جبل رضی اللہ عنہ کو, تو سیدنا معاذ نے جواب دیا لبیک یا رسول اللہ وسعدیک, یا رسول اللہ میں حاضر ہوں, میں آپ کے خدمت میں ہوں. پھر دوبارہ سیدنا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا یا معاذ, تو دوبارہ سیدنا معاذ رضی اللہ عنہ نے جواب دیا کہ یا رسول اللہ میں حاضر ہوں اور آپ کے خدمت میں ہوں. تیسری دفعہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا یا معاذ, اسی طرح تیسری دفعہ سیدنا معاذ کی جواب آئی یا رسول اللہ میں حاضر ہوں اور آپ کی خدمت میں ہوں, آپ کی خوشی میں ہوں, سعدیک آپ کی خوشی میں ہوں, آپ کی جو مرضی, آپ کا جو مرضی ہے اس میں مجھے استعمال کرے, میں راضی ہوں. سعدیک means I'm at your service, do with me as you wish. ثلاثا, تین دفعہ. تو پھر رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ جو بھی بندہ گواہی دیتا ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ کے سوا اور کوئی معبود نہیں ہے اور محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اللہ تعالیٰ کا بندہ اور اللہ تعالیٰ کا پیغمبر ہیں, صدقا من قلبہ, سچے دل کے ساتھ, جو مطلب یہ یقین رکھتا ہے اور گواہی دیتا ہے, اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ اس پر جہنم کا آگ حرام کر دیتے ہیں. الا حرمہ اللہ علی النار, اللہ تعالیٰ حرام کر دیتے ہیں. حرام, حرام means you don't even go near it. سبحان اللہ. تو سیدنا معاذ رضی اللہ عنہ نے جواب دیا یا رسول اللہ, کیا افلا اخبر بها الناس فيستبشروا, کیا میں لوگوں کو اس بات بتلاؤں تاکہ وہ بھی کچھ خوشخبری حاصل کر لے. یہ خوشخبر ہے, کتنی عظیم خوشخبر ہے. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne farmaya nahi, idhan yattakilu, agar tum logon ko abhi bataoge to wo bas isi par, isi ke bharose wo amal chhod denge, ke Allah taala iman ke sath jannat mein dakhil kar denge, so I can relax me, but matlab kuch karu na karu bas iman hai, Allah taala jannat mein dakhil kar denge, to logon ko abhi mat batana. تو پھر راوی فرماتے ہیں کہ رسول اللہ سیدنا معاذ رضی اللہ عنہ اپنے موت سے تھوڑی دیر پہلے اس حدیث کو روایت کیا ہے, تأثماً تأثماً مطلب اس خوف کی وجہ سے کہ اگر میں ایک, چونکہ یہ ایک علم ہے, من کتم علما, رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے حدیث شریف میں فرمایا کہ جس شخص نے کسی علم کو چھپایا جو اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی نے اس کو دیا, تو الجم بلجام من النار, مطلب جہنم کا آگ اس کو چکرا پڑے گا. تو اس خوف کی وجہ سے سیدنا معاذ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ نے حدیث شریف روایت فرمایا, انہیں روایت فرمانے والے نہیں تھے, چونکہ لوگ جو ہے اس پر بھروسہ کر کے عمل چھوڑ دیں گے. تو اس حدیث سیدنا انس رضی اللہ عنہ narrates رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم and سیدنا معاذ was his radif. Radif is the person who sits behind you. So when you're sitting on a camel or a horse, you have someone like a passenger. So سیدنا معاذ رضی اللہ عنہ was with him upon an animal. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh. Sayyidina Mu'adh said, Labbayka ya Rasulullah wa sa'adik. You know, when do they say qurban jai? The sahaba's etiquette and adab. This is where we learn adab and etiquette from. And sometimes people would come in the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who didn't have this adab and didn't have this etiquette. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would educate them, would teach them all of this salam, how to give salam. So we say, you train your children from the start. Sometimes our boys come, 14, 13, 14 year old. Today was very, very hot in class, talking about today. All yawning. Every single one of them yawning. So I say, don't yawn, put your hand. But these things, parents have to train. You know, this adab etiquette, of course, ustad and this, but how long are they with an ustad? Parents from a young age, are you holding the cup with your right hand? Are you eating with your right hand? Are you putting your right shoe on first and then your left shoe? These kind of things we have to do. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do to the person who came, a child came, and they walked in without giving salam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go out, seek permission, give salam, and then enter. This wasn't out of anger, this was education. So with children, we say, okay, take off your shoes again and do it again, but do it properly. So when you make them do it again, then slowly but surely these actions will become practice. So adab, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a beautiful teacher, and he taught the sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in adab. His adab is very important, you know. So look at the adab and etiquette. That when the sahaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu said, Labbayka ya Rasulullah, I am here ya Rasulullah. I am here also means I'm at your service. Wasa'adayk, and I am happy to do whatever you want me to do. Such a beautiful way. Just think about it. You're not just saying, I'm here. Kya hua? What is it? What do you need? Or I'm just, even out of respect, I'm here. I'm here, but I'm here to do whatever you need from me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this three times. Ya Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh. And each time Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he responded, Labbayka ya Rasulullahi wa sa'adayk. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him this hadith. And this repetition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to draw the attention of Sayyidina Mu'adh so he could deliver some very important news to Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeat many times, you know, three times he would repeat a statement. But it wouldn't be all the time. He wouldn't repeat everything all three times. But whenever he was about to mention something important, he would repeat it three times. And he would ask this question from the Sahaba, do you know something? And when he would ask a question two, three times, it means that he wants the Sahaba to listen very, very carefully, because what is going to come out of the mouth of Risalat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be extremely important. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, any servant, ma min abdin, never does any servant yashhadu testify that Allah ilaha illallah, there is no God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger. صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ, you know, صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ, truthfully from his heart, meaning with conviction upon this fact. إِلَّا حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the fire of Jahannam haram upon that person. So Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, such good news, such glad tidings. Should I not inform this news to people so that people also take some good news? Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Idhan yattakilu." If you do so, then they will, just rely upon this, and this hadith will stop them from doing amal. They will think, "Oh, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us a guarantee," because the Sahaba and the Tabi'un, they have such conviction. Anything Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said, this is haq. There can't be anything else. This is the only thing that we see. Nothing else. That's why the Sahaba was sometimes so strict. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this. I don't want to hear what you think. I don't want you to want to hear what you have to say about it. What your opinion is. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. Finished. To the extent that certain Sahaba wouldn't speak to their own children, because one of the Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, one of his sons once said, he narrated the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed women to come to the masjid. So he said, "Well, we will stop them." Now you see, this was also the opinion of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive today, he would not have allowed women to come to the masjid. So this is accepted because of the fitna. And if that was the fitna of that time, what of the fitna today? But anyway, he voiced his opinion. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu is saying hadith, and he said, "Well, we won't allow them." Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu said, "I am narrating a hadith to you, and you are saying you're going to do the opposite of that. I never want to speak to you ever again. Don't ever come near me." Very, very strict. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا يُنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He never speaks from his own desires. Everything he says is divine revelation. I'm saying all of this and I'm trying to think what Mullah Sulaiman Choksi said. He was so important, valuable, and he was so relevant. Waqadarullah. Maybe I'll remember some other time. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أو أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه ما شك الراوي ولا يضر الشك في عين الصحابي لأنهم كلهم عدول. قال لما كان يوم غزوة تبوك أصاب الناس مجاعة فقالوا يا رسول الله لو أذنت لنا فنحرنا نواضحنا فأكلنا وادهنا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم افعلوا. فجاء عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه فقال يا رسول الله إن فعلت قل الظهر ولكن ادعهم بفضل أزواجهم ثم ادع الله لهم عليها بالبركة لعل الله أن يجعل في ذلك البركة. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم. فدعا بنطع فبسطه ثم دعا بفضل أزواجهم. قال فجعل الرجل يجيء بكف ذرة ويجيء الآخر بكف تمر ويجيء الآخر بكسرة حتى اجتمع على النطع من ذلك شيء يسير. فدعا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالبركة ثم قال خذوا في أوعيتكم. فأخذوا في أوعيتهم حتى ما تركوا في العسكر وعاء إلا ملؤوه وأكلوا حتى شبعوا. وفضل فضلة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله لا يلقى الله بهما عبد غير شاك فيحجب عن الجنة. رواه مسلم. The hadith is quite long, so I'm just going to translate it into English. Sayyidina Abu Huraira or Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhuma, one of the two Sahaba, narrated this hadith. He mentions that on the day of the Battle of Tabuk, the Battle of Tabuk was a very difficult battle for which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did a fundraising campaign, try and raise funds, because it was going to be a long expedition, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was marching against the Ajam for the first time, the Ajam, the Romans. So, you know, it was very unexpected, and especially the Roman Empire had its reputation for being extremely strong and, a force to be reckoned with. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam campaigned, and this is where you have the famous incidents of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's generosity. This is where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu gives so much wealth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever Uthman does after this day, it will not make a difference now. Meaning he's already reached his rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this charity work, spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, people sometimes think, deen ka sirf ek hi raasta hai. Learn knowledge, or do this, or do that. And we're very narrow-minded. And this is one of the reasons Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi wrote this book. One of the abwab he has, babu kathrati, babun fi kathrati turuqil khair. So many ways to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes people are in this delusion. Such and such is a person is a big scholar, and only by being a big scholar can you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Islam is not just a narrow one kind of path. There are so many. Islam is a way of life. And the way in life, you need businessmen, you need fighters, you need people who can read and write, people who are educated, you need people doing all the service. Every kind of dimension and every aspect, you need Muslims doing everything. And if they do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everybody can get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many virtues are mentioned about businessmen. التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. person who is a businessman, وَصَدُوقٌ is truthful, أَمِينٌ is amanatdar, trustworthy. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will raise him with Nabiyeen, the prophets, Siddiqeen, the highest level of the most pious people, the Siddiq, and the Shuhada, the martyrs, وَصَالِحِينَ, and the pious. So there's every, you know, aspect of deen. So anyway, Sayyidina Uthman with his wealth got close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were telling this children today, saying, how do you know? People sometimes say, I just want to become a scholar. And this is the zamana now where everybody says, we're going to become alim. So they got part-time alim class, full-time alim class, alim class here, alim class here, alim class here, alim class here, alim class here. The reality is not everybody has to be an alim. Alim is not the only path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to know, talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim. We need to know as much ilm which is required for us to be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything which is farz, we need to know that's farz. It's farz for us to know that ilm. Anything which is sunnah, it's farz for us. It's sunnah for us to learn that ilm. So the ulama mention it like this. So once we know all of the zaruriyat, necessities of deen, it's not necessary to become a full-time alim. We need to become a full-time Muslim. We need to become someone who is practicing upon each and every single aspect of Islam. Everything Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we adopt it. Look at the sahaba. Not every single sahabi narrated so many hadith. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu narrated very, very little hadith. He had 2 years of khilafah. In the 2 years of Khilafah, he was so preoccupied with defending Islam from external problems and fitnas, he narrated very minimal ahadith to the extent, and one of the main reasons for this was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to be very fearful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that man kadhaba alayhi muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu min an-nar. Whoever lies about me purposefully, they shall prepare a place for themselves in the fire of Jahannam. Aajkal jo hai, har log kehte ki hadith hai, hadith hai, hadith hai, this is hadith, this is hadith. Humne suna ek hadith hai. You know, the women at home are just saying, oh, there's a hadith like this, there's a hadith like that. They've never studied hadith, they don't know nothing about hadith. But everybody just thinks it's easy to say, oh, hadith. And then they say some story which is some folk tale from somewhere. Sahaba, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to be the most scared narrating hadith. So ilm is a very slippery slope. Somebody, that's why everybody now, half-baked, part-time alim class, part-time alim class, part-time, do a few classes, listen to a few YouTube lectures, and then they feel qualified to give their opinion on everything. On every single thing, they give their opinion. You have someone sitting behind TikTok, and a student say to me, just yesterday, he was probably on the streets with his, jeans hanging below his ankles, and, you know, mashallah, I don't want to say. And then, you know, today he's sitting behind TikTok saying, oh yes, brother, that's halam. Yeah, this brother, yes, this is jaiz. Oh yes, this is permissible. And it's such a sad situation that the knowledge of deen has become so cheap. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam predicted, one of the signs of Qiyamah will be, يُرْفَعُ الْعِلْمُ. Knowledge will be lifted. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, how can knowledge be lifted? It's a concept. Knowledge is a concept. It's like saying intelligence or, you know, anger or something, you know, which is something in the mind. How can this be lifted? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُرْفَعُ الْعِلْمُ بِرَفْعِ الْعُلَمَا. Scholars will be taken. حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يَبْقَى عَلِيمًا اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فافتوا بغير علم فضلوا واضلوا. Time will come, there'll be no scholars, people will just take some people as scholars. And it's happening in our time, it's so sad. Like we see this on the YouTube and all of these things. Sometimes I look at it just to see what's out there and it just makes you really scared. Ya Allah. And these guys have 100, 200,000 people, 300,000 people following them. Bichara, yesterday he was just learning how to perform salah, and today he himself feels qualified to tell people about ijtihad and, I don't know, qiyas and all of this stuff which he probably barely understands. Allah protect. The reason I'm saying this is because it's not necessary ki har ek alim ban jaye. But it's necessary for us all to help the promotion of Islam in whichever way we can. That's why Sayyidina Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi would do the dua, اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وجعلنا منهم. And he would cry so much. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi, great saint of Allah Ta'ala. His whole concern was how can people connect with Allah and how he can be used for the service of deen. He would say, اللهم انصر, O Allah, اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد. O Allah, help those people who are helping the religion of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وجعلنا منهم. And he would cry. But then when he would say the second part, وَخُذُّ الْمَنْ خَذَلَ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَلَا تَجَعَلْنَا مَعْهُمْ وَلَا تَجَعَلْنَا مَعْهُمْ. He would carry on saying it and he would cry and cry and cry and cry that I am doing some work of deen to try and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but what if I'm doing everything wrong? I have shortcomings, I have weaknesses, I have mistakes. What if I am becoming a cause of people being misguided? Such a dangerous thing. So this is how the pious great scholars actually feel. And nowadays you have no one on that level and everybody feels, you know, mashallah, they're greater than all the scholars out there. Everybody gives their own opinion. I'm going to quickly finish this hadith. I've started it. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu mentioned that on the day of the Battle of Tabuk, أصاب الناس مجاعة, the people were afflicted by hunger. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, لو أذنت لنا فنحرنا نواضحنا فأكلنا ودهنا. Ya Rasulullah, we have our camels with us. If you give us permission, we will slaughter them and we will eat from their gosh, the meat, ودهنا, and with their fat, with their charbi, the oil, we will take benefit from it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yeah, go and do so. You can do so. We see nawadiha, their camels that they need for riding, for going for jihad. But they're saying, Ya Rasulullah, we're so hungry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can we just do zabah of those animals that we need for a different purpose and use them for eating? Initially, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission. However, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, in fa'alta qalla al-zahru. If you do so, and if you allow them to slaughter their camels, then there will be very few animals that we can ride on and go to war. وَلَكِنْ اِدْعُهُمْ بِفَضْلِ أَزْوَادِهِمْ. Look at how much yaqeen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is. Amazing. The reason why they are the greatest of the Sahaba, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. تَفْضِيلُ الشَّيْخَيْنِ. So how Rasulullah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I think the best idea is that you tell them to bring all of their leftover provisions that they have. When each of them left their home, they had Zadu Safar, they had their provisions for traveling. Tell them to bring whatever they have left over, and then you do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in it. Anything that they have left over, bring it and do dua to Allah ta'ala to put barakah in it. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَن يَجْعَلَ فِي ذَلِكَ الْبَرَكَةِ. If you do so, then it's highly likely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in it and it'll be enough. We won't need to slaughter our animals. All of the army, Sahaba, every single one of them, look at, they have full yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, but look at Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's level. And even think about zahiri sabab, you know, physical things that we see. Food is running out, what do we do? Okay, we've got these healthy animals, slaughter them, eat them. Think, no, Ya Rasulullah, you're still here. You are still here. And that's why it's Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when rain wasn't happening in Medina, there was drought, he pushed Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu forward, and he made Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu do dua, knowing with full conviction that the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is here, Allah Ta'ala will make rain come down because of him. Look at the level of intelligence and yaqeen and understanding, ma'rifah of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he gave this opinion. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, na'am, that's a good idea. فَدَعَى بِنِطَعٍ. Rasulullah called for this spread cloth to be laid out. فَبَسَطَهُ. ثُمَّ دَعَى بِفَضْلِ أَزْوَادِهِمْ. Thereafter he called for all of their leftover rations to be brought forward. قَالَ فَجَعَلَ الرَّجُلُ يَجِيءُ بِكَفِّ ذُرَّةٍ. Someone brought a handful of grain. وَيَجِيءُ الْآخَرُ بِكَفِّ تَمْرٍ. Someone brought a handful of dates. He said whatever they had left over. وَيَجِيءُ الْآخَرُ بِكِسْرَةٍ. Someone brought a piece of bread, piece of roti they had left over. And they all put it, حَتَّى اجْتَمَعَ عَلَى النِّطَعِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْءٌ يَسِيرٌ. So there was some items gathered on that cloth. فَدَعَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِالْبَرَكَةِ. And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did dua for barakah and blessings. ثُمَّ قَالَ. And then he said, خُذُوا فِي أَوْعِيَتِكُمْ. Everybody start filling your containers and your pots that you have. فَأَخَذُوا فِي أَوْعِيَتِهِمْ. Everybody started filling their pots. حَتَّى مَا تَرَكُوا فِي الْعَسْكَرِ وِعَاءً إِلَّا مَلَأُوهُ. Until not a single pot was left in the army except that it was filled. وَأَكَلُوا حَتَّى شَبِعُوا. And then they ate until they were full as well. So they filled the pots, they ate until they were full, وَفَضَلَ فَضْلَةٌ, and there was still food left over. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's barakah, subhanAllah. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's ma'rifah, that Rasulullah's presence. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Rasulullah's presence was enough for Allah's azab not to even touch the earth. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. And then Allah Ta'ala's rahmah went even further. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Is it like oh, مكان الله. That Allah Ta'ala will not punish them as long as they carry on doing istighfar. But before that, as long as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wujud and presence is here in the dunya, Allah's azab will not come. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is the reason, this last part here now is the reason why Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi brought it here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. وأني رسول الله. And that I am the messenger of Allah. So Rasulullah said this first, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, لا يلقى الله بهما عبد غير شاك فيحجب عن الجنة. No servant of Allah meets Allah Ta'ala, with this belief, with this kalima, غَيْرُ شَاكٍ, as long as he is not doubtful about it, he has yaqeen and conviction on this, فَيُحْجَبَ عَنِ الْجَنَّةِ, except that Allah Ta'ala will not put a barrier between him and Jannah, meaning he will be entered into Jannah, as long as he has this yaqeen. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to say, after performing this mu'jiza, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the kalima, to show that the kalima is sufficient for all of these mu'jizat, karamat, for a human, normal human who is not a nabi, a pious person, when they perform a miracle, this is called karama. And when a prophet of Allah performs a miracle, this is called a mu'jiza. Mu'jiza and karama, this is the difference. So the pious people used to perform karamat. And subhanAllah, many times when they perform karamat, you say, this is Shaykh's karamat, it's nothing. Because they didn't look at it like a karama, something amazing has happened at my hands. They just had 100% conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know Allah can do anything. So I did dua, I asked Allah ta'ala for something, it happened. Everybody else will say, wow, look at this. He will say, what happened? Allah ta'ala's, this is what I believe in Allah ta'ala. What are you people so amazed about? The reality is the yaqeen in the kalima. That's why our effort of Dawah and Tabligh is all about this. That have this full yaqeen in the kalima, that Allah Ta'ala does, Allah Ta'ala provides, Allah Ta'ala feeds. Hardship, difficulties come, but Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives it as a test. Don't worry about it. Always know that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wants the best for each and every single one of us. Allah Ta'ala gives all the correct understanding. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, shukran la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.